Thanks for listening to the Orion podcast, and I hope you'll enjoy this conversation between Miroslav Penkov and Orion's managing editor, Andrew Bleckman. You can support conversations like these by donating to Orion, and if you make a gift to Orion between Earth Day and Memorial Day, your gift will be matched dollar for dollar as part of Orion's Spring Challenge campaign. Go to orionmagazine.org/springchallenge to make your gift. Thanks.
Miroslav, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
You were born in Bulgaria, and you have a new first book of short stories, East of the West. How did growing up in the Balkans influence your work?
I was 7 when communism fell, so that was a pretty major event. And it's an event that kind of people like to hear about, and I like to think about it, because nothing was the same after that moment. Everything just collapsed over a very short period of time. But nothing was really all that bad for me. I mean, I was never hungry. I was never cold. I was probably a little bored, I guess, during those blackouts, which that was, I think, 91, 92, when the country was trying to preserve electricity. But even those times, you know, I didn't mind all that much. It's definitely given me something to write about.
In this story, a river plays a very central role. It's almost like a character. Could you discuss the role that the river plays and how you chose to write the story that way?
This is a story that I was writing when I had just begun my MFA in fiction in Arkansas. I had read an article in the newspaper about these two villages on the border with Serbia. One village was in Bulgaria, the other was in Serbia, and they held these annual reunions. Both villages had been the same village decades ago before all the big wars, you know, the Balkan Wars, World War I. And then when Bulgaria had lost a lot of land, it had been given to Serbia. So that I knew that that would be an interesting story. And I was living in Arkansas at the time, and I didn't have a car, which meant that I was just very much restricted to living on campus. I'd spent sometimes 2-3 whole months on campus, and I was missing Bulgaria just a great deal. And I just missed walking down the street. I missed seeing people. I missed my family. But the weirdest thing is that I missed this river. From my childhood, there's a big river, it's called the Yantra, which runs through the town where I was born, the town where my mother was born, in north of Bulgaria. It runs. It's a huge river. And I just kind of miss it. There are rivers in Arkansas, there are lakes, but I couldn't get to them. So I figured, well, this is what I can do. I can write a story about a river, and it's going to take me a while, and I'm going to feel like I'm by a river. I thought about writing about the Danube, possibly, but then, because I'd spent some time as a child there as well. But then I remembered that article about the people in Serbia, and I figured, well, can I connect the two? The one problem is that there is no river on the border with Serbia, or no big river like this. But that's sort of the beautiful thing about fiction, is that you can put rivers where there are none, really. But I wanted the story not only to be about a river, but I wanted it to feel itself and to flow like a river. I wanted it to be this big, big story. I wanted it to be slow in parts and large. And then in other parts, I wanted it to rush a little bit more and to be more focused. And I wanted it to be about one person, but also about all the other people around him. And I wanted it to be about the land and the history and sort of to encapsulate all of these feelings that I was feeling at the time. You know, my love for Bulgaria and just nostalgia and the sense that I'd kind of lost my family in a way. All of these very melodramatic things. Most writers will tell you that a short story is this fragile thing in a way, and it needs to be tightly focused, and you need to get in and get out, and you know it's something glimpsed in passing, which is really, I mean, true, which is what a short story could be. But at the time, my thoughts were so not focused that I thought, why should the story be?
Speaking of the river, perhaps you could read the beginning of the piece. A few paragraphs early in, which I particularly enjoyed, and I think which really sets the tone for the piece.
Yes, sure, absolutely. This is really the opening of the story. There is a small paragraph that starts the story, and this is what follows, and it's essentially exposition. And, you know, you're told exposition is bad, but there is so much history and so much to set up that I really felt like I need these two paragraphs. So I'll just read those, and hopefully that's going to put things in perspective. I first met Vera in the summer of 1970 when I was 6. At that time, my folks and I lived on the Bulgarian side of the river, in the village of Bogorsko Selo, while she and her folks made home on the other bank, in Srpsko. A long time ago, these two villages had been one, that of Staro Selo. But after the Great Wars, Bulgaria had lost land, and that land had been given to the Serbs. The river, splitting the village in two hamlets, had served as a boundary. What lay east of the river stayed in Bulgaria, and what lay west belonged to Serbia. Because of the unusual predicament the two villages were in, our people had managed to secure permission from both countries to hold once every 5 years a major reunion called the Zbor. This was done officially, so we wouldn't forget our roots. In reality, though, the reunion was just another excuse for everyone to eat lots of grilled meat and drink lots of rakia. A man had to eat until he felt sick from eating, and he had to drink until he no longer cared if he felt sick from eating. The summer of 1970, the reunion was going to be in Srpsko, which meant we had to cross the river first.
Miroslav, there's another section or two I'd love you to read from. Could you read from the section where you introduce your cousin Vera?
Yes, it goes like this. There are nearly 100 of us on the bank, and it takes Mihalaki a day to get us all across the river. No customs. The men pay some money to the guards, and all is good. When the last person sets his foot in Srpsko, the moon is bright in the sky, and the air smells of grilled pork and foaming wine. Eating, drinking, dancing, all night long. In the morning, everyone has passed out in the meadow. There are only two souls not drunk or sleeping. One of them is me, and the other one, going through the pockets of my folks, is my cousin Vera. Two things I found remarkable about my cousin: her jeans and her sneakers. Aside from that, she was a scrawny girl, pale, round face and fragile shoulders with skin peeling from the sun. Her hair was long, I think, or was it my sister's hair that grew down to her waist? I forget, but I do recall the first thing that my cousin ever said to me. "Let go of my hair," she said, "or I'll punch you in the mouth." I didn't let go because I had to stop her from stealing, so, as promised, she punched me. Only, she wasn't very accurate, and her fist landed on my nose, crushing it like a plain biscuit. I spent the rest of the Zbor with tape on my face, sneezing blood, and now I am forever marked with an ugly snoot, which is why everyone, except my mother, calls me Nose.
How did you devise these characters? I mean, how did you decide to have a character named Nose and such a spirited and beautiful cousin named Vera?
I don't know. I really don't know. I think the Nose part came as it does in the story. I just kind of wrote her as stealing from everyone's pockets because I wanted her to be an interesting character for my amusement, if not for anyone else's. And then the most logical thing for him to do, which is how I tried to write my stories, I tried to do cause and effect and see, well, what happens if one character is daring and courageous and dishonest in some ways and steals from the people who are close to another character who is very shy, a coward in many ways. So what happens? It's obvious that the cowardly and very honest character will try to prevent the theft. So that's how it appeared. The character goes to her and he says, "Please don't steal." And she says, "Let go or I'll punch you in the nose." And she punched him. I really have no good explanation besides this is how it happened.
Now, you've been in the United States for how long?
I came here in 2001 in August. So almost 10 years.
You've been in certain parts of the country that, you know, not a lot of Americans have been except for those who live there, such as Arkansas. And now you're in North Texas.
The funny thing is I applied when I was finishing high school in Bulgaria. I took the SAT. I applied to different universities in the U.S. and I received a full scholarship at the University of Arkansas. And I had very little idea of what Arkansas was like. I kind of thought it was Arizona I was going to. Initially, at least, I thought it was a desert. And then I arrived in this lush northwest Arkansas is where Fayetteville and the big university is. It's just beautiful, lakes and hills and trees. It's just great.
How has that influenced your writing?
Well, aside from the fact that I was imprisoned on campus for long stretches without having a car and just walking was kind of out of the question. I would walk to Walmart and then it was just, it was just sad. People would honk at you, and some of them would mean well and offer you a ride, but others, you can tell that they were just genuinely irritated because you walked. And there are no sidewalks and such things. All of this just gave me the reason to look back to my home country and to write about Bulgaria. So that's a huge influence.
So Miroslav, your book, your first book, East of the West, comes out in July from Farrar, Straus, and Giroux. How is it that you chose this short story, East of the West, to be the title story of your upcoming book?
We did not think, and by we I mean my editor and I, Courtney Hodel at FSG, we didn't really think about the title until we were done with the stories, and it took me, over 2 years to rewrite and make the stories work the way we were all happy. So we didn't think much of a title, and then I was just thinking to myself and talking to my parents when I was in Bulgaria. I was thinking, East of the West surely seems like a good title, because for all my life, especially when I was young, my parents would say, we gotta go west, we gotta go west. You know, at some point they were thinking of immigrating, finding jobs abroad, and they said, it was always the west, the west. And it's not just west, it was the west. Like, it's just one unified thing, the west. So I always had the sense that we are not the West, which is true. We probably are not Bulgaria. Well, where are we then? We're just east of the West. So that seemed, I think, appropriate. It captures the theme, the mood of all the stories.
Miroslav, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thanks to David James Duncan for the music that accompanies the Orion podcast.